a Flatlander. You could tell at a glance. His features were neither Caucasian, nor Mongoloid, nor Negroid, though there were traces of all three, a uniform blend which must have required centuries. In a gravitational pull of 9.98 meters per second, his stance was unconsciously natural. He gripped a drinking bulb and smiled around at his guests. As it happened, he was smiling into a pair of reflective silver eyes an inch from his own. One Teela Brown had somehow ended up nose to nose and breast to breast with him. Her skin was blue with a netting of silver threads. Her coiffure was streaming bonfire flames. Her eyes were convex mirrors. She was 20 years old. Louis had talked to her earlier. Her conversation was shallow, full of clichés and easy enthusiasms, but she was very pretty. "I had to ask you," she said breathlessly. "How did you get a Trinnoch to come?" "Don't tell me he's still here." "Oh, no, his air was running out and he had to go home." "A little white lie," Louis informed her. "A Trinnoch airmaker lasts for weeks. Well, if you really want to know, that particular Trinnoch was once my guest and prisoner for a couple of weeks. His ship and crew got themselves killed at the edge of known space, and I had to ferry him to Margrave so they could set up an environment box for him." The girl's eyes registered delighted wonder. Louis found it pleasantly strange that they were on a level with his own eyes, for Teela Brown's fragile beauty made her look smaller than she really was. Her eyes shifted over Louis's shoulder and widened even further. Louis grinned as he turned. Nessus the puppeteer trotted out of the transfer booth. Louis had thought of this as they were leaving Krushenko's. He had been trying to persuade Nessus to tell them something of the proposed destination, but the puppeteer was afraid of spy beams. "Then come to my place," Louis had suggested.
"But your guests?"
"Not in my office, and my office is absolutely bug-proof. Besides, think of the hit you'll make at the party, assuming everyone hasn't gone home by now." The impact was all Louis could have desired. The tap-tap-tap of the puppeteer's hooves was suddenly the only sound in the room. Behind him, speaker to animals flickered into existence. The Kazin considered the sea of human faces surrounding the booth. Then, slowly, he bared his teeth. Someone poured half his drink into a potted palm, the grand gesture. From one of the branches, a gummagey orchid thing chattered angrily. People edged away from the transfer booth. There were comments.
"You're okay, I see them too."
"Sober pills? Let me look in my Sporan."
"Throws a hell of a party, doesn't he?
Good old Louis.
What did you call that thing?"
They didn't know what to make of Nessus. Mostly they ignored the puppeteer. They were afraid to comment on him, afraid of sounding like fools. They reacted even more curiously to speaker to animals. Once mankind's most dangerous enemy, the Kazin was being treated with awed deference, like some kind of hero. "Follow me," Louis told the puppeteer. With luck, the Kazin would follow them both. "Excuse us," he bellowed, and pushed his way into the throng. In response to various excited and or puzzled questions, he merely grinned secretively. Safely in his office, Louis barred the door and turned on the bug-proofing set. "Okay, who needs refreshment?"
"If you can heat some bourbon, I can drink it," said the Kazin. "If you cannot heat it, I can still drink it."
"Nessus?"
"Any kind of vegetable juice will serve. Have you warm carrot juice?"
"Ugh,"
said Louis, but he instructed the bar, which produced bulbs of warm carrot juice. While Nessus rested on its folded hind leg, the Kazin dropped heavily onto an inflated hassock. Under his weight, it should have exploded like any lesser balloon. Man's second oldest enemy looked curious and ridiculous, balanced on a hassock too small for him. The man Kazin wars had been numerous and terrible. Had the Kazinti won the first of these, mankind would have been a slave and a meat animal for the rest of eternity. But the Kazinti had suffered in the wars which followed. They tended to attack before they were ready. They had little concept of patience and no concept of mercy or of limited war. Each war had cost them a respectable chunk of population and the punitive confiscation of a couple of Kazinti worlds. For 250 years, the Kazinti had not attacked human space. They had nothing to attack with. For 250 years, men had not attacked the Kazinti worlds, and no Kazin could understand it. Men confused them terribly.
They were rough and they were tough, and Nessus, an avowed coward, had insulted 4 fully grown Kazinti in a public restaurant.
"Tell me again," said Louis, "about a puppeteer's proverbial caution. I forget."
"Perhaps I was not strictly fair with you, Louis. My species judges me mad."
"Oh, fine."
Louis sucked at the bulb an anonymous donor had handed him. It held vodka and drubelberry juice and shaved ice. The Kazin's tail lashed restlessly.
"Why should we ride with an avowed maniac? You must be madder than most to wish to ride with a Kazin."
"You alarm yourselves too easily," said Nessus in its soft, persuasive, unbearably sensual voice. "Men have never met a puppeteer who was not mad in the judgment of his own species. No alien has ever seen the puppeteer world, and no sane puppeteer would trust his very life to the fallible life support system of a spacecraft, or the unknown and possibly deadly dangers of an alien world."
"A mad puppeteer, a fully grown Kazin, and me. Our 4th crew member had better be a psychiatrist."
"No, Louis, none of our candidates are psychiatrists."
"Well, why not?"
"I did not select at random."
The puppeteer sucked at its bulb with one mouth and talked with the other.
"First, there was myself. Our proposed voyage is intended to benefit my species. Hence, we must include a representative. Such a one should be mad enough to face an unknown world, yet sane enough to use his intellect to survive. I, as it happens, am just on the borderline. We had reason to include a Kazin. Speaker to animals, what I tell you now is secret. We have been observing your species for some considerable time.
We knew of you even before you attacked humanity."
"Well, that you did not show yourselves," rumbled the Kazin.
"Doubtless. At first we deduced that the Kazinti species was both useless and dangerous. Lines of research were initiated to determine whether your species could be exterminated in safety."
"I will tie your necks in a bow knot."
"You will commit no violence."
The Kazin stood up. "He's right," said Louis. "Sit down, Speaker. You don't stand to profit by murdering a puppeteer." The Kazin sat down. Again his hassock did not collapse.
"The project was cancelled," said Nessus. "We found that the man-Kazin wars put sufficient restriction on Kazinti expansion, made you less dangerous. We continued to watch. 6 times over several centuries you attacked the worlds of men. 6 times you were defeated, having lost approximately 2/3 of your male population in each war. Need I comment on the level of intelligence displayed? No. In any case, you were never in real danger of extermination. Your non-sentient females were largely untouched by war, so that the next generation helped to replace the numbers lost. Still, you steadily lost an empire you had built up over thousands of years. It became apparent to us that the Kazinti were evolving at a furious rate."
"Evolving?"
Nessus snarled a word in the hero's tongue. Louis jumped. He had not suspected that the puppeteer's throats could do that.
"Yes," said Speaker to Animals. "I thought that was what you said, but I do not understand the application."
"Evolution depends on the survival of the fittest. For several hundred Kazin years, the fittest of your species were those members with the wit or the forbearance to avoid fighting human beings. The results are apparent. For nearly 200 Kazin years, there has been peace between man and Kazin."
"But there would be no point. We could not win a war."
"That did not stop your ancestors."
Speaker to Animals gulped at his hot bourbon, his tail, naked and pink and rat-like, lashed in turmoil.
"Your species has been decimated," said the puppeteer. "All Kazinti alive today are descended from those who avoided death in the Man-Kazin Wars. Some among us speculate that the Kazinti now have the intelligence or the empathy or the self-restraint necessary to deal with races alien to them."
"And so you risk your life to travel with a Kazin?"
"Yes," said Nessus, and shivered all over. "My motivation is strong. It has been implied that if I can demonstrate the worth of my courage by using it to perform a valuable service for my species, I will be allowed to breed."
"Hardly a firm commitment," said Louis.
"Then there is another reason to take a Kazin. We will face strange environments, hiding unknown dangers. Who will protect me? Who would be better equipped than a Kazin?"
"To protect a puppeteer?" Does that sound insane?
It does, said Speaker to Animals. It also appeals to my sense of humor.